Well, hello everybody again. We're glad to be back. I am Scott.
And I am Stan, and we are delighted that you're back with us.
Yeah. I think part of the joy, you know, Stan, as you said, doing this together, because I think a lot of people that listen do want to dive deeply into Scripture, you know, study it a little deeper, ask some questions, and I know you and I enjoy that.
And we do. I mean, this is, for the two of us, this is special.
It is.
And it's very good.
Yeah.
So we're now, at the end of March?
Yeah, we're at the end of March, and so we're going to be staying right at the end of the Holy Week, Luke 22, Luke 23, and Luke 24, here at the end of March.
Much in this that is so very good.
There is.
And we may not cover it all, but...
Right.
Well, we probably won't, but...
Those chapters are kind of long.
Yes.
And so there's a lot there.
But repetition, that's why we keep going back over and over
all
the time. So it's good.
Good. Well, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to do an overall context leading up to these passages. All right, let's pray. God, again, what a great joy it is to be with you. We do try to read this and study it, understand it, so that we can draw closer to you, understand you more, so that we can be more like you.
Mm-hmm.
Help us to do that even again today. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
And Stan, as we talked about before we went on to record, we're going to kind of do overall context, kind of go back and forth a little bit.
Yep.
So let's just dive right in. And we're going to start a little later at chapter 20, Luke chapter 20.
So with Luke chapter 20, it's really what I would call Jesus' last week of public ministry. But it really started back in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, where he turned his face towards Jerusalem, and we're now there. We're now in Jerusalem. We're now in this last week. And so from really the tail end of chapter 9 up to where we are at chapter 20, we've been anticipating this moment, and now he's there. And as he's in the temple then during this last week, we get, again, this kind of interaction, this conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders. And they have questions for him, trying to trap him, but they know what they're going to do. They're going to kill him.
Yeah. And then Jesus responds with this parable of the tenants, which is very difficult, about the tenants who have the garden. They're tending the garden, and eventually they kill the son of the owner, and he's going to clear them out.
So the beloved son, yes.
And again, then, as he talks to the religious leaders, there's a question about him paying taxes, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And then they question him about the resurrection, and Jesus affirms the resurrection.
Very much so. And then chapter 21, still carrying on, he's there in the temple area and observes this a woman, a widow, who gives essentially her life to a corrupt system. And so there's that wonderful, I don't know if it's wonderful, that great contrast between the religious leaders and this woman, the religious leaders who like to have first in everything, like to have fine clothing, and then there's this widow who gives her life.
Yeah, an amazing, it's a great story on generosity. She gives it all. So Jesus transitions, because he's asked about the temple, say what a beautiful building it is, and he says not one stone will be left on another. So he talks about, you kind of talked, it was the little apocalypse. It's kind of
a
revelation or an apocalypse about the end times or what is coming. And then Jesus, again, goes on to talk about that for quite a while. He tells about his return and then remaining watchful.
Yes, and that really is the key that we are left with is he talks about signs, he talks about things that will happen, but the key is to watch.
Uh-huh.
And so we as believers, are we watching?
Yeah.
Are we awaiting, or are we like, it's a parable in Mark's gospel that they forget about the landowner, the master returning, and then they fall asleep or are not doing what they should be doing.
Think about us today, you know, kind of the term eat, drink, and be merry. Or are you, not that being merry is not a terrible thing, but are we preparing ourselves for Jesus' return?
Exactly.
Are we living for Jesus?
Yes,
right
there
now?
It is.
Right.
There it is. And so then we're in the last week. And in chapter 22, then things really, in one sense, move very quickly. But we have Thursday, They prepare for the Passover. They then share in the Passover in the upper room. He encourages them to drink the cup and to eat the bread, but he doesn't drink the cup. And then talks about that he will be betrayed, and Simon Peter comes back and says, well, now, I don't know about these others, but and that's more the other Gospels, that account, but but he will be faithful to the end.
He'll be faithful. So then we go out to the garden, and we see that the disciples fall asleep. He says, pray so you won't fall into temptation, but they fall asleep. We have the time in the garden. Jesus is betrayed and arrested. And then we get into staying at the end of chapter 22. Peter denies knowing Jesus, which leads into Jesus being arrested. And then that part, why don't you pick it up there?
Well, he is arrested. And then Peter follows behind him at some distance and finds himself then in the, according to Luke, the household of the high priest. And he, in fact, does deny Jesus three times and leaves weeping bitterly. At that moment, Jesus then is taken, and again, according to Luke, and there is a trial. Once it's daylight, there's a trial with the Sanhedrin or the religious leaders. They are certain of that he should be convicted. They need to hear nothing more. They then take him to Pilate, and from there on, it is this process of what goes on with Pilate and the religious leaders.
Yep. Pilate and hands him over to be crucified.
There we go.
Jesus is led away to be crucified near the end of chapter 23. And then Jesus goes to the cross and dies on the cross and even laid in the tomb at the end of chapter 3, which leads to Easter Sunday and Luke 24.
That's right. And so we have the women with their preparations, and Joseph of Arimathea fits into all that as well. And then the women come to the tomb, and there's no body.
Right.
And the disciples are... Leros is the Greek word, an idle tale.
Okay.
But the disciples are not believing, and then later that day we have two going to the village in Emmaus where they encounter Jesus.
And Jesus describes to them how the scriptures really concerned himself. Talking about Jesus, he says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, that's in the middle of 24. And then finally, stand at the end of 24, Jesus does appear to the disciples behind locked doors and in Jerusalem, and he ascends into heaven.
These are great chapters.
There's a lot there.
There really is. So we will want to now see if we can unpack some of that.
And so that's our overall context. And Stan, now you're going to lead us in Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 71.
Yeah, we'll take an overview, or not quite an overview, but we'll follow the outline of this passage, and it's material that, in many regards, we know well. But there's so much here that is so very good. According to Luke, then in verse 39, he doesn't talk about a garden, he doesn't talk about Gethsemane, but he does talk about the Mount of Olives, that's where Gethsemane and the garden was located
right.
on the Mount of Olives, and so. In verse 38, we've got that comment that Jesus makes while they're still in the upper room, it is enough, which, as we talked previously, was, I think he wants to move on. The disciples are not understanding at all, it's enough. Okay, I'm done with you. Let's move on. So they go to the Mount of Olives. There he then commands them to pray. And separates himself, according to Luke then, and Luke has some interesting little details here, that Jesus falls on his knees.
Yeah.
We don't pick that up in quite that way. He has a little line that literally it is that he was a stone's throw away from the disciples. Well,
yeah.
I suppose, how far can you throw a stone?
30 yards? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. But it's an interesting little deal that he gives. Then when Jesus does pray, here we have very much our traditional language, Father, take this cup away from me. The interesting thing to me about this, well, and I should finish that thought, it's let it be your will. I mean, and Luke's language is a little bit different. Let it be your will. Whereas in Mark or Matthew, it's thy will be done, or that's the older translation, but very much the same idea. But take this cup away. And we saw in the previous, last week, we saw that there was the cup that they shared in the upper room, and Jesus encouraged the disciples to drink that cup. I would guess this is a different cup he's talking about.
Yes. It does sound different, doesn't it?
I mean, there in the upper room, this cup is the cup of, if you will, his blood.
Right.
Whereas this cup here in the garden or in on Mount of Olives has to be a cup that has is dealing with judgment and wrath.
You even mentioned before we were recording today, Jeremiah 25 talks about Jeremiah talks about a cup of wrath.
A cup of wrath.
Okay. Yeah.
And drink it to the dregs, and that I think also has in other contexts reference to when Jesus is on the cross and they give him this ersatz wine.
Yeah.
And then he says, it is finished.
Exactly.
And so, but that idea that he is now drinking the cup of wrath, which is not the cup that he offers his disciples.
Okay.
I think there's a distinction there.
It sounds like there is. So why don't you go into, he rose from prayer, he's praying, and he was anguished, or maybe we didn't, I don't want to skip over, his sweat was like drops of blood. And so, talk about that for a minute.
Well, that's, again, that's more a Lucan thing, and maybe this is Luke the doctor that is aware of that kind of thing. There are, I think, some scholarly or manuscript questions about that little passage and where how it fits in here. But I'm not doubting that, at least what I know at this moment, that Luke is writing accurately from what sources he had. And so there was this idea, not an idea, there was the understanding that an angel appeared to Jesus to strengthen him.
Yes.
I have no means to counter that or say, well, I don't know. So yes, I think I mean, we read, for instance, in Mark's gospel that just after his baptism, which is an interesting correlation, that the angels were ministering to him after his 40 days of temptation.
Right.
So, okay. I have no reason to think otherwise here.
Right.
But we do get this, the word agony. Agonizo is the verb, but it has to do with a contest.
Okay. How so?
Well, the contest would be in the Roman world or in the Greek world where you had Olympic games. Uh-huh. Then the word that they would use is that word that has come to us as agony, where we understand it as something that's painful. Well, athletic contest
could have pain because
can
you're
very much
exerting yourself
very
so
much so.
Okay.
I mean, we think of the first so-called marathon, and he runs the marathon and dies.
And dies, right?
Yeah. So that is how that word I believe is then traced through for us.
Yeah. Talk about. Do you want to go on to that, or do you want to go on and he rose from prayer? I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, you weren't. And,
okay.
As you and I, Scott, talked earlier, there are days when I get scattered, and so this may be one of those podcasts that is
We're
that.
About how, Stan, I'm gonna set you up then. Before we started recording, in verse 45 in Luke 22, it says the disciples were exhausted from sorrow.
Yeah.
And I think you maybe talked about that word sorrow. It could be pain. And it's an interesting dynamic. Perhaps they fell asleep because they were exhausted from pain or sorrow. Maybe say a word about that.
Well, the word is lupe, and it is rightly translated as sorrow. But at least on a psychological level, sometimes when we are dealing with great emotional pain, or even physical pain, but often with great emotional pain, we resort to sleep.
Okay, yeah.
So in the other Gospels, say in Mark, they had wine that night, and that could have explained why they were having difficulty keeping their eyes open.
Uh-huh.
But Luke then adds this understanding that wine may have been involved, but this may have just been they slept just to escape. No, they may have been exhausted and just slept because they were tired. But I think there's so much else going on here that that this may have been.
I think so too. You know, I think with a lot of emotion, it affects our bodies.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Emotion, pain, trauma. I'm sure they're fearful. Can become actually physical pain, and like you said, exhaustion. So perhaps that's why they fall asleep. So Jesus says, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And then while he was still speaking, a crowd comes up, and we kind of transition over to 47 through 53.
And there it's the crowd is following Judas.
Okay.
And we've talked about this before. What I so appreciate, whether it's in Luke or all four of the Gospels, Judas is always described, I think always is the right word, as one of the 12.
Yeah.
He never ceases to be one of the 12, which I hear that as good news, actually.
Mm, okay.
They the early church probably, like we, didn't know exactly what to do with Judas. Mm. What do you do? Mm-hmm. But what do you do with somebody who betrays?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they are probably wise enough to recognize that all of us betray.
Mm-hmm.
And if we had time, we could talk further about, in what ways do I betray my Lord even now in
right.
the life that I live?
Absolutely.
And that's what sin and then asking for forgiveness is all about. I mean, that's betrayal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I appreciate that. Jesus raises the question, Judas, are you betraying me with a kiss? That word kiss is philema, which has at its root the word love, phileo.
Okay.
Has at its heart or is related to the word philos, friend.
Okay.
So are you betraying me with a kiss? And of course, that we're dealing with an Asian Eastern culture.
Mm-hmm.
Kisses, ways of greeting.
Yes, men would greet each other with
yes.
a kiss on the cheek.
Yes.
Right, in that time, in that culture.
So
it could be, it would be very much of a betrayal to use what would be an affectionate greeting between two men as a sign.
Good
that,
point.
That this is the person
yes.
you are to arrest.
Yes, yes. I mean, there is a treachery or deceit involved mm-hmm. in that. Yep, very good point.
Okay.
Then there, Luke records that those about Jesus raised the question, shall we fight? And of course, in the upper room, he had dismissed that. You guys don't understand. I mean, he was speaking hyperbolically, and no, you know, this is not about fighting, but somebody whacks off the ear of, we learn in John's gospel, the ear of one that was a part of the high priest's
mm-hmm.
Household.
And doesn't it say in the Gospel of John that it's Peter who does the whacking?
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And true to Luke, it's the right ear.
Okay.
You know, we get that little bit of detail. And here Jesus then comes back again, and the similar idea, it's enough. This is not, what are you guys doing?
Mm-hmm.
This is not what we're about. Mm-hmm. And then it's a wonderful little word. Jesus touches the ear, heals the man. The religious leaders then grab him. I mean, Jesus has already raised the question about, are you coming out to get me as if I'm a robber?
Mm-hmm.
And earlier on, Jesus called the religious leaders robbers.
Okay.
You have turned the house, my house, into a
den of thieves.
Robbers.
Yes.
And so you've got, who's the real robber in all of this?
Uh-huh.
But then a very telling line there in verse 53, your hour of darkness
yeah.
has come.
Yeah. This is your hour when darkness reigns.
Yes.
Translation.
Yes.
And which leads, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, do it.
Which leads us into 54 through 65, Stan, where this group with, from the chief priest, the officers of the temple guard, I'm reading back earlier a little bit, they seize him, they lead him away, they take him to the house of the high priest, but Peter follows at a distance. So Jesus is arrested, and Peter follows at a distance. Then they go into the middle of the courtyard, probably of the house of the high priest. They sit down together, and there's a fire there. Do you want to pick it up there? Kind of what happens there?
Well, it's very interesting, the word that, it's exactly the same word that Jesus touched the man's ear.
Oh, yes,
that's
you're back. Okay,
the same word that is used to start a fire.
Oh, okay.
To light, and I don't know quite the history of how those, I'd have to think about that a little bit more, but to kindle a fire, and there would be some kind of touching and some kind of warmth, I'm guessing, so I don't know, but it is exactly the same thing that is going on there. What I do find curious in Luke's narration is that Peter then sits with these others around the fire. So
yeah.
We don't get that in the other accounts. Doesn't
okay.
mean one
okay.
or the other is wrong. It's just that Luke provides us that detail, that he's sitting with them. And so then two people, one of the maid servants, and then a man asks him, you know, are you not part of that group?
Yeah.
He denies it twice. Interesting, though, that the man comes back and says, well, you're a Galilean.
Yeah, certainly this fellow is with them, for he is a Galilean. We're at verse 59. Yep.
And it may be in next week or following, we'll pause a little bit to talk a little bit about that word Galilee.
Okay.
But there again, Peter denies it, and then a third time. And this third time, just after that, then the cock crows.
Mm-hmm. In verse 60, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we get this little line that I find very curious as well.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus looked at Peter.
Yeah, Jesus, the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter.
Well, where, how, I mean, I've tried to
you
picture
see,
this in
yeah.
my mind. Peter is in an inner court.
Inner courtyard.
But he's not inside.
No,
where,
he's not inside.
No. So was Jesus, I've seen it depicted this way, that maybe Jesus was being led from one place to another, and just at that moment he sees Peter, and just at that moment the cock crows, and Peter recognizes. Some have suggested, well, where there are some windows. Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. It is a very curious line.
It is.
But it really has its impact upon Peter, obviously, because then he now, according to Luke, remembers what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes out and he weeps
bitterly. Verse 62, he went outside and wept bitterly. So very strong emotion for Peter. He realizes what he has done. He has denied knowing Jesus three times, just as Jesus said that he would. And he was bold and said, I'll follow you to prison. I'll follow you to death. But he denies knowing us three times.
Let me suggest that maybe we end these moments today.
Okay.
At this moment, we'll pick up at the very tail end of
chapter
22 next week.
That's great.
And just go with that. So we have some questions, Scott. Why don't you just do that?
This is kind of for your pondering, for your thinking. I'm going to read them through kind of one by one. So while on the Mount of Olives, what were Jesus' concerns? How do these concerns characterize him? Think about that as he was on the Mount of Olives in the garden. Was Judas, quote, the kiss of death, unquote. Was Judas the kiss of death? Next, what question did Jesus ask of those who came to arrest him? What is telling about his question? What question did Jesus ask of those who came to arrest him? How do you understand Jesus' comment, the power of darkness? How do you understand Jesus' comment? Remember, that's what the people who came to arrest him under the power of darkness. How would you characterize Peter's experience? We've just talked about that in these last 11 or 12 verses. And finally, that will finish it up for today. So we'll pick it up again at verse 66 in Luke 22 next time.
We will.
And I pray to send today. Why don't you pray us out?
I will. And yes, I will gladly. Lord, thank you for these moments. There is so much here. And how well we tapped into that, or to what depth. but it's always good to just to go back and to recall what you did for us and what was going on in those lives about you. Help us to keep hearing, keep understanding, keep listening, and in all of that to know you better and more deeply. That's our prayer. We pray in your name. Amen.
And amen.
Good to be with you all. Yep. And we'll look forward to picking up more of this next week.
We will. Next time. Bye.
Bye.